PPI.org.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/Wave Project. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Aaliyah Hodge, and I'm here in the studio with Joshua Hodge.
Hi there, KFAI fans.
I am a former PSEO student, the current president, and a founder of People for PSEO. In this installment of The Wave Project, we'll delve into Minnesota's educational opportunity gap and the work People for PSEO is doing to get information in the hands of students and families. And at the end, we'll be able to hear from a PSEO alumni, Josh, on his experience. So for those who are joining us for the first time, People for PSEO is a statewide nonprofit made up of current students, lawmakers, parents, PSEO alums like me, and other PSEO advocates. And our student members come from over 40 different high schools throughout Minnesota. The focus of People for PSEO is threefold. First, to promote the PSEO program among families, students, educators, and the general public through a variety of means, including obviously doing radio shows like this. And to encourage the refinement, expansion, and improvement of the PSEO program by providing information to legislators and other policymakers. And lastly, to encourage greater equity and access to PSEO for students throughout Minnesota. Throughout these efforts, People for PSEO, we hope to reduce disparity gaps between students of color, low-income students, and rural students and their counterparts. People for PSEO also strives to increase the number of high school students participating in concurrent enrollment programs throughout the state. And another quick refresher for folks who might not be super familiar with what PSEO is. So the Post-Secondary Enrollment Options Program, or PSEO for short, it allows high school students to enroll in courses taught by college instructors, either on campus or online. And more recently, legislation was passed allowing 10th grade students to enroll in PSEO. So that means if a student earns a C, or higher in a career or technical education course, then they're eligible to take additional CTE courses while in 10th grade. So obviously, in essence, PSEO gives high school students the ability to fulfill high school requirements while also accumulating college credits that can be put towards a future major. You know, I really want to highlight the fact that PSEO allows high school students to earn college credit at absolutely no cost to them, which means tuition, textbooks, required course materials are free to the student. In fact, there are even funds available to help pay transportation expenses for PSEO students for families who are at or below the poverty level as determined by the federal government. That is something that we at People for PSEO, we worked last legislative session to have that change to all low-income students or students who qualify for free and reduced-price lunch. But because of the huge increase that we were asking for, it unfortunately didn't pass last year. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop pushing for it because it's the right thing to do. You know, a little personal story. So I graduated from high school with 58 college credits and that from the U of M, which allowed me to then get my bachelor's degree at literally no cost to me. Like, I didn't have any debt leaving my bachelor's degree program at the U, and I was 19 when I graduated with my bachelor's. And then I got my master's from the Humphrey School at 21. That one was not free. And so, Josh, how many credits did you graduate high school with?
I graduated actually with a degree and 66 credits from MCTC, which allowed me to graduate from the University of Minnesota, also debt-free at 20 years old.
See, I think that's a true testament to how life-changing and how powerful, you know, the program is. Before we get into our next part, I want to take a really quick break. But I also want to remind our listeners that you can find more about the work we're doing Or if you want to contact us and say, hey, you know, my kid would love to hear about PSEO. Can one of the alumni speak to them? You can absolutely contact us. Our website is www.peopleforpseo.org. That's all one word, no spaces, no underscores. www.peopleforpseo.org. So after this short break, we'll begin diving into the data and then discuss the long work that we have to do as a state. So stay tuned.
Bonjour. My name is Cheryl Whitehawk. I am Lakotere Ojibwe from Northwest Wisconsin, but I've spent most of my life in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. I have a few ideas about how we can find relief and find inspiration during these hard times. Going out into nature, any kind, in any way, even people in the city can do that. Spend time by a tree, on Mother Earth, going to where there's water. We feel very close to Creator when we're near water. So miigwech, everyone. My prayers are with everybody during this hard and difficult time that we can hopefully use our culture to get through.
This message is supported by a grant from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Super. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the WAVE Project. In this part of the program, we'll be, you know, discussing a little bit about Minnesota's educational opportunity gap. So as folks know around the U.S. and the world, on May 25th, we witnessed yet another tragic killing of an unarmed Black man in Minneapolis. And while sadly, you know, or shamefully, horrific incidents like the murder of George Floyd aren't new, the injustice exposed in this tragedy revealed and reflects the injustice that exists at nearly every level in our society, including education. Governor Walz stated that Minnesota consistently ranks highly for our public schools for innovation and opportunity and happiness, if you're white. If you're not, the opposite is true. Systematic racism must be addressed if we're to secure justice, peace, and order for all Minnesotans. So let me give, you know, our listeners, let me give you guys like an idea of what this looks like. So in the 2018-19 school year, 66% of white students met or exceeded standards for proficiency as measured by the MCAs in reading, as compared to 34% of Black students and Native students, 38% of Latinx students, and 54% of Asian students. And then if we look at graduation, so in that same, you know, 2018-19 school year, the four-year graduation rate for Black and Latinx students was 69%, which is compared to 88% for white students, 87% for Asian students, and 50% for Native American students. So why do these disparities exist? Like, what does this mean? Well, I think, you know, there is some research that shows that, you know, as students of color proceed through the school system, the overwhelming dominance of, you know, Euro-American perspectives leads many students to disengage from their academic learning. You know, kids aren't seeing themselves reflected in a lot of what we're learning about in school. And I think, you know, we don't have to go super far to actually see this. Like, think about history. Think about the history classes that you took in high school and that, you know, if you have kids, your kids are taking. So a researcher, Christina Sleater, she's analyzed about a dozen or so textbooks, history textbooks, and found that the texts make racism and discrimination seem like things of the past and say little to nothing about contemporary race relations, racism, racial issues. And usually throughout these textbooks, they use greatly sanitized terms when we talk about racism. You know, for example, I remember in high school when we talked about the civil rights movement, we learned Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and I Have a Dream. Absolutely. That's it. You know, we didn't learn about freedom riders. We didn't learn about, you know, sit-ins. You didn't learn about all the work that, you know, white allies in the North helped us with. Like, you know, we didn't talk about that. You know, so in other words, what we're seeing in a lot of our history books, you know, people of color are really added in a more contributions fashion to the predominantly Euro-American narrative. And if we can also look at that as on a state level. So it's also mirrored in our own state standards. You know, as everyone knows, state standards are set by the state to represent the minimum requirements for K-12 students' achievement in, you know, if we're thinking about history, citizenship, government, economics, geography, and history, like if we're thinking about social studies. So the Minnesota Social Studies Standards are organized by standard and benchmark. The benchmarks are where more specific skills or content that students are supposed to learn are identified, and the standards, you know, are more overarching and broad. So there's 442 specific standards for K-12. And so here we are. Here's some facts about those standards. The word discrimination appears once, and that's in the eighth grade. The word racist is not in any of those benchmarks. The word racism appears twice, once in the grade six and once in the high school. 912. And in both instances, they refer to the time period of 1870 to 1920. You know, and we know that racism is prevalent even in society today. The word injustice never appears. And while slavery appears more often, you know, it appears seven times, it's referred to as either one reason for the Civil War or as an economic system. You know, I think the lack of specificity, about historical racist roots in our country in the standards is really disheartening, you know, and on top of that, astounding, you know, and it leads me to ask, how can we expect our students to succeed, all of our students to succeed, you know, and have a strong sense of self and self-confidence and identity when we're barely teaching them their history, you know? I think education, as much as we like to call it the great equalizer, it also doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, Governor Walz, like I said before, he stated that, you know, systematic racism must be addressed. And to address it in education, we have to look at all the factors that contribute to disparities. You know, obviously the one that we see obviously playing out right now is our criminal justice system. You know, and if we want to look at that on a smaller school level, we got to look at suspensions. We have to look at the fact that kids of color are disproportionately suspended from school, with Black kids being the most group that suspended the most, you know, out of the almost 49,500 disciplinary actions in the 2018-19 school year, Black students made up about 38% of those suspensions. That's almost 40% of suspensions for a group of children that make up 11% of the state. As compared to white students who make up 35% of disciplinary actions, but, you know, and as we know, where they account for about 65% of the state, you know, and when we think about that, those are all missed instruction days for kids. Those are days that kids aren't learning when they're suspended. And it doesn't even fix the actual problem of why a kid had to get kicked out in the first place. You know, it's a temporary fix for a more, you know, a larger problem. You know, we also have to look at the fact that only 4% of teachers in Minnesota identify as people of color, you know, and the amount of school leaders of color are even less. You know, this being said, we have to, you know, start investing in grow your own programs and looking at alternative pathways to licensure. You know, we also have to look at the fact that students of color are often dissuaded from rigorous courses. I remember when I was in high school, I wanted to take Japanese as a PSEO student at the U of M, and I had a teacher who told me to stick to English. You know, obviously I didn't listen to her. I ended up minoring in Japanese. But like, these are just stories that countless of kids of color have heard. And then we also have to look at housing and employment systems that don't provide opportunities for people of color to accumulate wealth. I think there was a Brookings Institute report that said at $171,000, the net worth of a typical white family, it's nearly 10 times greater than that of a Black family, which had a net worth of $17,000 in 2016. You know, like, let's repeat that, 10 times the amount, you know, and we know that, you know, income and wealth can affect the extent in which parents can invest in their own children, you know, and I'm not saying that all these systems will be changed overnight, but this is a lot of work that we as a state have to do if we're serious about closing these gaps. You know, as an organization, People for PSEO, you know, the reason I really started this, seeks to actively disrupt systems of oppression and racism and push back against what many call the traditional, you know, high school experience. You know, and I'm not naive enough, and I'm not saying that PSEO can solve every issue in society. But, you know, it has a profound effect on high school graduation rates and college persistence. You know, to bolster this, you know, I want to point out and, you know, highlight 2012-2013 study that MDE published, you know, tracking the difference in high school graduation rates for a student who didn't participate in PSEO versus a student who took one or more concurrent courses. So that's PSEO or CIS. So for white students that didn't participate in PSEO, their graduation rate was 85% compared to 98%. Which was for a student that participated in one PSEO course. So that was a jump of about 13%. And for black students, the graduation rate was 58% versus 88%. For Asian students, the graduation rate was 78% versus 96%. Native American students, 49% versus 88%. And Latino students, 59% versus 92%. You know, I think overall, these gains aren't insignificant. And, you know, they show that tremendous impact that taking even one PSEO or concurrent enrollment course has on a student. You know, I also want to point out, you know, I talked about college persistence, so I wanted to point out academic momentum. So academic momentum is a perspective that suggests that the speed in which a student initially progresses through college significantly affects their likelihood of completing a degree. So in layman's term, the faster you start this, the, you know, the more likely you are to get this done. I mean, I saw that definitely with my life, you know, being able to start college while I was in high school. You know, not only did that save a bunch of money, it saved time. I think I went to the other day to, you know, present to a board about PSEO, and someone, you know, asked like, oh, well, if 2-year college becomes, you know, free and available to everyone, will that affect PSEO? And I was like, no, because there are a lot of kids who don't have the time, that they need to be earning a wage while they're in high school. And I know that was, you know, that was something that I had to deal with. So like I said, academic momentum is an effect separate from, you know, academic preparation, like, you know, if you're taking AP, like college prep classes, and, you know, family socioeconomic status. You know, I also think it's important to note that participation in PSEO in that program has gradually increased over time. You know, the program has increased by 25% between the fiscal year 2010 and 2018. And enrollment by low-income students has grown by 46% and now accounts for almost 23% of participants. Additionally, students of color participating in PSEO have increased by 61% since 2010, accounting for 26% of total participation. And although the percentages of students of color have increased significantly, these percentages still remain lower than the overall statewide percentages of students of color in the state, which is 30% as of last year. You know, so why PSEO? I feel like if you've heard this show, you've heard me talk about this a million times. So besides saving families thousands of dollars, why should, you know, PSEO be something that's the state priority? Well, in 2015, the Minnesota legislature enacted legislation setting a target that 70% of Minnesota adults aged 25 to 44 will have attained a post-secondary certificate or degree by 2025. So that's in like 5 years, you guys. So we've got to work on that. And in order to meet this educational attainment goal of 70% for all racial and ethnic groups, which no group is at right now, I might add, Minnesota needs approximately 144,000 additional Minnesotans aged 25 to 40 to complete their first educational credential. You know, and like I said, this could be either a certificate or a degree, you know, and it is the viewpoint of People for PSEO that this is a great way to get started on this. I know I put a lot on everyone right now and a lot to think about. So when I return from this break, I'll quickly discuss the work that People for PSEO is doing and how folks can get involved.
The Cedar Cultural Center is pleased to announce the launch of the Cedar Public Access Channel. With interactive concerts, discussions, interviews, archival recordings, educational programs, and more, all planned and produced by artists in collaboration with the Cedar. every other Thursday at 7:30. Tune into the Cedar Public Access Channel on the Cedar's Facebook or YouTube for a unique live stream or recorded premiere. The Cedar Public Access Channel provides an online platform for artists to present independently produced, low-cost, and inspiring content that's unique to the artist's voice. The Cedar Public Access Channel, every other Thursday at 7:30 on the Cedar's Facebook or YouTube for a unique live stream or recorded premiere.
Welcome back, everyone. So I just want to take this time to quickly go through the work that People for PSEO, that is PSEO meaning post-secondary enrollment options, has been engaging in to close opportunity gaps. So in addition to, you know, tabling specific school and career fairs and presenting at, you know, local boards, you know, and parent organizations, and being on radio shows and being on television, we also worked with the Humphrey School on a capstone project to examine, you know, the racial and socioeconomic gaps in participation of the program. And then they gave us a plan as well of how we can best address that as a, you know, a small nonprofit. You know, and last year we worked on having two important pieces of legislation passed. So first was policy equity for PSEO state. For PSEO students taking online courses. So before colleges could limit the amount of online courses a student can take, we found that as a huge barrier for rural students and for low-income students who, you know, weren't able to get transportation reimbursed. So now you can take as many online courses as, you know, the regular matriculated students can. And then we also had a modification requiring high schools to disseminate updated PSEO information to students and families at a date falling in line with their next course or next year course registration. Because what we had found, you know, some schools were sharing information about PSEO in March, and then the U of M, their application opens in February. So that's not super helpful for kids. You know, and, you know, we had some priorities this year, but, you know, due to, you know, the novel virus, we didn't get most of them done. But, you know, we're going to show up next session and we're still going to push for, you know, greater equity for our kids. So also, I do want to highlight that in the past, this past fall, we were also recognized by the Waltz Administration for our work as it relates to PSEO. We actually got a certificate from the governor's office about that. And last month, we hosted a PSEO information session with college advisors from the U of M, Finishing Trades Institute, North Hennepin Tech, and St. Paul College. We also had a few high school principals on that call, too, to talk about what PSEO looks like from their perspective. And then we had alumni of the program and current PSEO students who were available to answer questions for the parents and the students that did participate. You know, and, you know, because we know that information is a huge barrier to PSEO, we're planning on having another one of these events on the 29th of June. So mark your calendars. So for those who are interested in registering for this event, you know, I would suggest checking our website on the 21st, and then you can have all the registration forms and that information. You know, once again, our website is www.peopleforpseo. That's P as in Peter, S as in Stacy, E as in Eleanor, and O as in Oliver, .org. And I am joined by Joshua Hodge, a former PSEO student. Say hi, Joshua.
Hi there, KFAI fans. This is Joshua Hodge.
All right. So let's start with some introductions. If you can start with telling me, you know, obviously we know your name, where you did PSEO and where you went to high school.
Alrighty, so I was a St. Louis Park High School student, and I participated in, go Orioles, of course, and I participated in PSEO at MCTC, which is Minneapolis Community and Technical College.
Super. So let's just jump right into our questions. So why did you decide to participate in the PSEO program?
Well, first, you were my sister, so I definitely was going to follow directly in your footsteps, but also because I felt like PSEO was just the best choice for me in high school. I really need more rigor in my courses, as well as have a schedule that really fit my needs.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So how did you, how would you categorize your experience with the program? You know, both the good, you know, and the bad, you know, things that should be improved.
I'd say my overall experience with the program was amazing and very positive. PSEO allowed me to try a multitude of different classes. When I first started PSEO, I actually was a nursing student. Then I switched to biology, and then I'm actually graduating with my degree in communications before I even graduated from high school.
That's impressive.
Thank you. PSA was just a great program because it also allowed me to create my own schedule, which I needed to work while go to school. So even from 16, it allowed me to just have a really nice schedule that allowed me to go to school when I could go to school and work when I had to work.
No, I totally get that. I know when I did PSEO, initially I went in and I was like, I'm going to study neuroscience and I'm going to be a doctor. Obviously, that didn't happen.
It's okay. Then, it didn't happen for me either.
You know, and then after neuroscience, I wanted to do psychology. And then after psychology, I wanted to do sociology. And then I finally landed in political science when I was undergrad. And then after that, I was like, oh, I'm going to become a lawyer. I'm going to go to law school. That didn't happen either, guys. And then I ended up studying, you know, I got my master's in education policy and community economic development. So, yeah, it definitely changes a lot what, you know, what you plan on studying and then actually what you end up studying because your passions change.
But that's what makes PSEO great. It allows all students to actually follow their passions, and especially since it's a free program, it allows students to do so from a much younger age.
Absolutely. So how would you, you know, how would you compare PSEO to, like, I know you took AP.
Yep.
Like, how would you compare the two programs? Like, if you think about the rigor or, like, differences.
I'd say one of the main differences is just the diversity in coursework that you're actually allowed to take. Since PSEO is at a college or university, they have many, many more courses than your high school could offer for AP or IB. And since it's taught in a college setting, the actual discussions themselves are more intuitive to what you're actually learning. So it just gives a more rich experience in your educational process.
Mm-hmm. That makes complete sense. So how would you, you know, when you talk about a lot of students I've heard from, you know, they're like, oh, we don't want to lose the high school experience. So how did you maintain connection with your friends in high school and just the high school culture while also, you know, working on your AA?
So while I was also in high school and doing PSEO, I always made it a point to come back and see my friends as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Still participate in all school events, which PSEO definitely allows you to do. Just because you're in PSEO, do not think that you can't participate in high school events.
And so spoiler, pause, Josh. I just got to let listeners know that if your school doesn't let you participate in, you know, prom and other extracurricular events, that's against the law. So let them know that they can't do that.
Yes, you will not be barred from participating in anything. Like I myself, you're still participating in sports, too, while you're doing PSEO. And also, it's a great way to encourage your friends, too, once you are a student, to join the PSEO program. Because PSEO is for every student.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I know you had a friend, you encouraged your friends to join PSEO, even while they were in their senior year of high school.
Yes, PSEO allows you to participate junior or senior year. So if you begin as a junior, you can also tell your friends to participate senior year as well.
Absolutely. So is there anything that you would change about the program?
I would just say the information available for the program itself. I feel like PSEO should be pushed to all students throughout the entire state. Even if you take one PSEO course and it's not for you, that's totally fine. But I feel like all students should have the option and availability to take part in this program.
Absolutely. And I feel like sometimes the narrative, it tells us that, like, well, if you're not in the top 1% of students, you can't participate in PSEO. And, like,
I actually found that when I was in high school, I wasn't in the top 1%, but, you know, I was still a pretty good student. But I actually did better in PSEO than I was doing in high school, even with the improved rigor of coursework.
Wow. I think it just, you know, scheduling probably just works a little better for some students. So another thing students and parents actually ask about a lot are supports. So were there any groups or, you know, support networks for PSEO students at MCTC? You know, did you get to talk with your counselor often? Like, how did that go?
I feel like the counseling office at MCTC was great for PSEO students. We had two counselors that just directly oversaw all PSEO students, and they were available to come and speak at any time. As well as the professors at MCTC also were very knowledgeable about the program as well, and were more than happy and willing to talk to you whenever you needed to.
Nice, nice. I gotta hype the U as a gopher. I remember that not only do we have really like 4 or 5 PSEO counselors at the U, mainly because we have so many kids.
True.
There's also the PSEO Student Association, you know, and they work and they not only have get-togethers and gatherings for PSEO students, you know, if you're new to college, it's so intimidating because I was 15 when I first started my first day, you know, and it's like, I don't know anyone who's 19 or 20. So they really allowed you to have a community of people. They also had pizza parties and other, you know, really, really fun events like that. So, Josh, I want to ask you, you know, what are you doing now and what are some of your future goals?
Well, currently I work at Hennepin County. I graduated last year from the University of Minnesota as well, so go Gophers, with my degree in psychology. Right now I'm beginning to study for the GRE to take this fall so I can return to school, hopefully again at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
To study business finance as well as marketing at the Carlson School.
Nice, nice. That is really, really great to hear. So why would you recommend PSEO?
I'd recommend PSEO to all students, again, as said before, in the state of Minnesota, because PSEO not only helps you save money, it helps you discover what you actually want to do. As someone who has changed their major multiple times, PSEO allowed me to have the time to do so, as well as create a schedule that actually fit my needs as a student.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh. Thanks so much for sharing your experience with the program. And I know we're drawing to a close, so I still want to reiterate that any listeners that are interested in learning more about the PSEO program or People for PSEO, that is People, F-O-R-P-S-E-O, as in Peter, Stacy, Eleanor, and Oliver, .org, you know, they should visit our website. Let me say it again, www.peopleforpseo.org. You know, we're always looking to partner with community organizations, so feel free to message us, and we can absolutely present. We'll bring our students, we'll bring our alum, and we'll, you know, observe social distancing rules and masks.
Of course.
you know, for a free presentation about PSEO. So once again, I just want to thank everyone at KFAI and our listeners. And thank you again for joining us this morning on The Wave Project.
You've been listening to The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you would like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/waveproject. The Wave Project, it's anything you want it to be. Stay tuned for La Voz del Pueblo.